This is Digital Story Podcast number 860, September 13th, 2022. Today's theme is Shoot and Be Seen. I'm Derek Story. Ultimately, we take pictures for ourselves, but sometimes it's nice to share them with others. Posting our images online has become a real hit or miss endeavor in terms of views and feedback. Today, we're going to look at the photo sharing landscape and explore new options for getting our pictures in front of others. I hope you enjoy the show. Now that Instagram has gone to the video dogs and Flickr, well, it's feeling longer in the tooth than ever. What are our options for sharing images with others who will actually look at them? So I did a little research on this and was been thinking about it for the last week or so. And I landed on this one page that I thought was kind of helpful. It's called 15 Best Social Media Networks for Photographers. And we're going to use this as a starting point today, not as our end point, but as a starting point to provide us with an overview of the social media landscape. Now, there's more to this than just social media, but we'll start there. This article, by the way, is on photographycourse.net. I have a link in the show notes, and there's a lot more detail in the article than I have time to go over today. So make sure you go over there and take a look. Alrighty. Here's the sites that they discuss. They have 15 sites here, and I'm just going to kind of go through them a little bit. And we're going to start with Instagram, which is at the top of the list, which I think is kind of funny because I would put Instagram near the bottom of the list these days for photographers because, well, they decide that they're in the video business. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about Instagram later in the show. Honestly, these days, I don't consider Instagram a great place for photographers. Between the focus on video, between the abundance of ads that are there, there's so many distractions. And, you know, our followers will still look at our pictures there, but I don't feel like that, generally speaking, you're going to grow your audience much on Instagram or get the kind of engagement that you really want. That doesn't mean I think you should get rid of your account. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I wouldn't pin a lot of hope on it being the photography sharing site that it once was. And like I said, we'll talk a bit more about it later in the show. But I don't put it at the top of the list at all these days. Now, the second one they have is Pinterest. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, Pinterest really isn't about likes or followers, and I get that. And this is really set up to backlink to your website and attracts people who are ready to do stuff. And it's kind of fun. Pinterest is kind of fun. There's a lot of good photography on Pinterest, and you may have noticed that when you're searching for images on Google, that you will get results that are from Pinterest quite often. So it's definitely a place where you can get some attention. My concern about Pinterest has always been that you don't really get photographers on Pinterest. You get people who are interested in all sorts of stuff and who are looking for information and whether it be the latest recipe for roasting Brussels sprouts or, you know, whatever it happens to be. It's a cool place. It's a likable place. I just don't consider it a hot spot for photographers. And by the way, on any of these that you may have a dissenting opinion on, remember, I post the podcast on Facebook, and you can go there and set me straight on some of these things if you think I'm off course. But I just don't consider Pinterest a great place for photography per se, but it's a fun place to hang out, and I certainly do like it. I do. Twitter is the third one. So, I mean, I just feel like they're kind of going with the heavy hitters here. Fourth one is Facebook. And, you know, Twitter is actually, I think, rather decent for photographers. I follow a lot of people in our virtual camera club. I follow them on Twitter, and it's kind of nice. And I can like their shot and even comment about it and so forth. And I feel like that I see more of their work because I'm looking at Twitter anyway. I mean, Twitter's just sort of flowing through my website, you know, the digital story and so forth. So I actually think Twitter is kind of fun. Now, I don't think you're going to get a ton of feedback. You will get some likes. But if you want folks to see your photos, and if you have a decent following, you know, you can grow a Twitter following relatively easily. I think it's not a terrible place for, you know, sharing photos, and the photos look halfway decent. So I kind of give Twitter a thumbs up. Again, it doesn't meet all of our goals, but it's kind of cool. It works pretty well. It works pretty well, and it's fun. Facebook. Well, you know, Facebook's number four here. Facebook for sharing images, I think, is great for family and friends. I really do. And I know a lot of people, they use Facebook to keep in touch with family and friends, and photos are a big part of that. And I think in that way, I think Facebook works pretty well still. I do. I think for getting to a photography audience, I think what you really have to do then is find a Facebook group, right? A group that has a more focused approach to photography. And there's a lot of them out there. And I think then that's the way to go. So Facebook broad, Facebook general, more of a friends and family kind of thing. But there's a lot of terrific Facebook groups out there that are far more specialized. And you really can hang out with some cool folks. Now, the thing about Facebook is, of course, none of us have control over it. So you're going to have things also showing up on the page that you may or may not want to see. You're going to have ads. You're going to have political stuff. You're going to have all sorts of things in the peripheral of Facebook. But there are some really good groups out there. And I think it is a viable way to go if you can, you know, kind of put up with the noise that surrounds it, as long as you stick to the groups and then use Facebook General for your friends and family and folks that you just want to stay in touch with. Behance is another one on the list. And Behance is run by Adobe. And it's actually highly regarded by a lot of people. A lot of people think Behance is pretty cool. And I must admit, I'm not a Behance person. But in the article here, they go, think of Behance as LinkedIn for creatives, right? Social media platform was designed by Adobe and is one of the best photography networking sites available online. Use Behance to share your portfolio and favorite images. Like other social media sites, Behance allows users to like and comment on your photos, but what's different is it is designed more for graphics and photography. So even though I'm not a Behance user, reading this makes me think that it probably is viable, especially if you're in the Adobe ecospace. So this seems something that if you haven't checked it out and you do use Adobe products, that you might want to take a look at. They have Flickr on the list here, and, you know, I still use Flickr. We still use Flickr. We have, you know, members submitting photos to our Flickr site, and it's fun to peruse them. And I just think Flickr's cool. I think it will always be a part of my life as long as it's here. And I do enjoy a lot of the photographers on Flickr, and I think there's a lot of good photography there. So, you know, it's kind of just like in stasis mode, though. So you're not going to grow, I don't think. You're not going to grow a big audience on Flickr. You might not get maybe a younger audience that you might be looking for. But it is cool. It is fun. And, you know, Flickr Explore for inspiration is still one of my favorite places to go. So I don't think I'll ever talk down on Flickr. But at the same time, I have to be honest that I don't think it's the greatest place to grow awareness about your photography either. Then they've got a few others, and one that I want to touch on that showed up in a lot of the articles I was researching was F-Stoppers, the website, which is a site that I go to at all, but I'm not like a member of F-Stoppers, but They say the website is a community for photographers to see what's new with photography gear and share opinion articles. Much of the website is also about sharing work and getting feedback from your photographer peers. Many of the photographers use f-stoppers to see what others are saying about gear before they invest in something new. So I think this is kind of interesting. I know they do run a photographer of the month, which is kind of cool, and those images are always very good. I never quite saw f-stoppers in the broader picture as being a photography community, but I will tell you, it showed up in a lot of my research, and therefore, I think I got to give it some street cred. So f-stoppers might be worth a look. They did talk about 500 picks. I think 500 picks has, you know, climbed the mountain, got a lot of attention for a while. I don't think it's quite as hot these days as it used to be, but it is focused solely on photography, and if it isn't on your radar, it might be worth a look these days. Another one they talk about is YouPick. And the platform's tagline is "Find your home among the world's best photographers." Wow, that's fairly impressive. By the way, it's YOUPIC. Is an excellent source to rub elbows with some of the top photographers around the world. You could have your work sitting, you know, next to Steve McCurry, who also used the site. Well, okay, there you go. That would be kind of cool, as long as your work is not embarrassed by Steve McCurry's work. But that's another thing. Just like Instagram, you can share photos that people can interact with. But what's different about it is the fact that it's more designed for professionals. It serves as a space for professional photographers to share ideas and find clients. Keep in mind, the platform's not free. The cheapest plan is $4.99 a month. Lastly, you can earn money back by using the platform to sell your photos and services. So we say it's worth a try. So it was new to me. Honestly, it was not on my radar. YOUPIC. So that might be something that you want to take a peek at. And then finally, the last one I'm going to talk about here, there's a few more on here, but the last one I'm going to talk about is Exposure.co. The social media platform for photographers is designed to allow you to share stories about your photos. This is a top social network to mix photos with text. When you read the stories on Exposure, it feels more like you're browsing your favorite magazine or book, rather than looking at a platform. Photographers love their clean and easy to read layout with large format photography. The free version of Exposure allows you to post 3 stories a month. If you want to share more than that, you will have to pay for a monthly or yearly subscription. And I think that's worth a look. I really do. I think that sounds interesting to me. And again, it wasn't really on my radar, but I'm happy that it's here. And I might take a peek at it myself, exposure.co. Now, the last two they list here are Tumblr, which is a personal blog site that's been around for quite a while. And then TikTok. TikTok. Yes, TikTok. And, you know, we think of TikTok more for video, but obviously photos and stories are sometimes blended together. And TikTok, no doubt about it, is very popular, and I think if you find the right formula, you can really gain a big audience there. So just some new ideas I wanted to throw out there for you to take a peek at in terms of the social media. Two other things I want to mention are camera clubs themselves, physical camera clubs. If you're lucky enough to have one of those in your area, I go to some camera club meetings as judge sometimes, and I'm pretty impressed by the photography I see there and the people that I've met. That might be worth taking a look, and I'm sure, you know, they were all on Zoom for a while during the pandemic, but I'm sure they're coming back to live and in person again. So you might want to look around and see if there's any camera clubs in your area. And then finally, member-only groups, one of which I run. Derek Story Online for our Inner Circle members. That's a member-only group. And the thing I really like about that is that everyone in the group is a photographer. I know they're a photographer. Everyone in the group is really very positive. You can share images. You can get feedback from people who care about photography. And there are other member-only groups as well. A lot of times they're attached to something like F-Stoppers or the Digital Story or something like that. They're worth taking a look at as well, especially if you find a site that resonates with you. Hopefully the Digital Story resonates with you, but there are other sites as well. And they're another thing to kind of keep on your radar. It might not satisfy your overall need to show images and get feedback and so forth, but I think it can be part of the solution. So I really enjoy our Inner Circle group on Derek's Story Online, and I think it's a fantastic place to hang out. And I'm sure there are others as well if you do a little bit of research. So that's just kind of a look at the overall landscape of what some of the possibilities might be for sharing images and getting feedback and having others take a look at your work and, you know, all that good stuff. If you have additional ideas, please list them on the Facebook post that I'm going to put up for this podcast. And let's get the sharing going. Let's get our work out there. Get it off our hard drive. And get in front of people who care about photography and will give us a little bit of feedback. I hope some of these ideas were helpful to you, and I hope you explore some of them. All right, I have a treat for you. I have an interview right now with John Pemberton, and he's a member of our Inner Circle, and he's got this idea called F2.8 Press, and it fits right in line with what we're talking about today because he is very much into zines. And those of you that are listening from Europe, I'm sure are very familiar with zines, and he is also fascinated by them and has begun one called, you know, F2.8 Press. And not only is he going to use it to share images with photographers, you know, really compelling images, he's also very excited about tapping the great photography that's in our community here and having some of you submit for upcoming zines that he'll be producing. So I don't want to give too much of it away. I'm going to let him talk about it, but we're going to sit down here with John for about 10 minutes and let him tell you about this idea, this F2.8 Press. And then if you're interested, I have a link to it in the show notes where you can go over there and take a look at everything he's discussing. All right, let's have a chat with John right now. So tell me a little bit about this project that you're working on.
Okay. It's really kind of one project led into another. But about around 10 months ago, I had been working on a project that I had been making contributions to for a couple of years now. And it was a personal project that kind of hit a point where, okay, I think this is a good stopping point for this particular project. And then as I hit the pause button or the stop button on it, I started thinking, okay, what can I do with this now? This is I feel like this is a productive piece of work that I'd like to share with people. And I started thinking about, okay, how do I get this out so other people can see it? And I wasn't really thrilled with a lot of the options I was finding. And then I started searching online and I came across the whole zine community in the United Kingdom, where there's a community of photographers, a number of photographers throughout Britain, where they produce zines and they print and they share zines. And that's a way of people, the way that people share a lot of the work that they do. So someone will put together a project, they'll publish it as a zine. It gets around some of the things that we have as far as, you know, the differences between a book and a zine, where a book typically has a lot of overhead to it, whereas a zine is designed to have fewer barriers to get into. You can buy the publishing software and go ahead and do the layouts and prep the PDF for a printer. And then through, you know, there are online printers that make printing zines relatively easy. And so as I was looking at that, I was thinking, okay, what should I send my zine to one of these established zines? And I started looking at, okay, a lot of these zines are very focused on particular topics. And it didn't strike me that my project necessarily fit with one of them. So what I was thinking was, you know, surely I'm not the only enthusiast photographer who has work that they're proud of. And there's probably more people like me. And so what I decided to do was actually start my own zine. The company is called F2.8 Press, and the website is f28press.com. And what we plan to do is publish work by enthusiast and student photographers. So we're going to have two zines, and the zines are going to be published quarterly. We're going to start off with our first zine, which is called Archive, and that's going to focus on work by enthusiast photographers. And then a year from now, we're going to start our second zine, which will be called Spark, and that will focus on work done by student photographers. Where we are right now is that the very first project is I used my product as sort of a prototype just to see, okay, what's involved, what can go wrong, let's work out the kinks along the way. And that zine is ready to be released in October. And now where we are is we want to find work by others to go through and begin publishing the work of others as well. That's a little bit about what we're working on. Some details. We're not only just trying to get people some exposure for the work that they've done, but we are also going to be compensating people. We firmly believe that people have done work to create these projects. And so we are paying the creators of the projects that we select a small stipend to begin with. And then we're doing limited runs of 100 prints. That's it in a nutshell, really.
So I'm looking at the site right now. It's an 8.5 by 8.5 inch mm-hmm. zine, which is obviously short for magazine. I guess yeah. Zine is sort of indicates that it's not like by a standard publishing company, or do you know anything about the history of zine?
Yeah, it's not a full magazine. It's not a hardcover book. Mm-hmm. It's the size of a playbill. So if you go to do a Broadway show, you mm-hmm. get a playbill. Mm-hmm. Most zines are in that size.
Interesting.
Depending on the publisher of the zine, there's different quality of paper involved. There's different sheen. Our zine will be 8.5 by 8.5, which is a little bit large, but I wanted the extra canvas to give people's work the best possible treatment.
And the first one, Archive, is going to be 32 pages. So that's a nice size. That's something that you can flip through and, just sort of enjoy. You've got enough variety where it's interesting, but it's not so big that it's, hassled up to ship around or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And $12, right, for the first one?
Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to have runs of 100, and that budget is 12 times 100 will give us $1,200. We're going to be compensating the artists who contribute to the tune of $250. And then the printing is probably another 40% of that $12. And then after that, we're going to take the money from the next zine and find the next artist that we want to highlight. And over time, we're going to, every zine we produce, every zine we sell, allows us to find someone else and present their work as well. And over time, what we hope to do is start raising sort of a nest egg that allows us to get into publishing full books with hardcover books that have ISBN numbers and things like that. Those are high ticket items, and we don't want to just dive into that end of the pool quite yet. And so we want to start small with the zines and move on from there.
And can people pre-order the one that's coming out in October now?
Yeah, the first one is mine, and mm-hmm. it's my project Glimpses at the Conservatory, and it's a collection of images of plants at botanical conservatories I've taken over the last 5 or 6 years. That's available for pre-order now. And then what we're looking for is to begin to identify other enthusiasts and photographers who have assembled work that they would be interested in publishing. And so if you go to the site, one of the tabs is submissions. It covers what we're looking for in a project. And then what it has is it has a form that can be filled out that, okay, what's your name? What's your email address? Where is a web page, either a physical web page or a social media web page that we can see your work at? And then there's a checkbox of here's the genres in which I photograph in. And then at the bottom, there's an additional checkbox for working in digital or film. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take the forms that come in, and we're going to issue calls for submissions. Probably as we do this quarter by quarter, we're going to change the genre. So maybe the first quarter is going to be street photography. Maybe the next one will be landscape. Maybe the one after that will be documentary of some sort. But we will issue calls for submissions. And hopefully, and this is really kind of what we're really hoping to do, is find people who want to share their work. That's what we're looking for right now, is people who have something they're proud of that they want to share with us so we can share it with other people.
Fantastic. I mean, what a fun project. And that cover image for the conservatory is really beautiful. Is that a film shot?
No, that is digital. Mm-hmm. That particular project is all digital. Mm-hmm. I hit a point with it about 10 months ago where I realized, okay, it's all in black and white. And to do things differently, to go in a different direction with the entire project, I need to start doing color. And so that's where it seemed like, okay, this is a good point to, you know, close the chapter on the first volume of this. And that's the decision I made at the time.
That's fantastic. That's really cool.
I have a partner in crime. His name is Alexander Toms. He is a photography and book arts major at the Heron School of Art in Indiana University, Indianapolis. And he's going to help me with the sequencing of the projects and also the selection of the projects. So I wanted to make sure I gave Alexander a shout out. He did a really good job of helping me sequence my images. So
the website is f28press.com, and you can go over there and you can take a look. You can order archive if you wish right now. And then if you're interested in submitting, as John said, the submissions tab is right up there at the top. Get everything filled out and they'll take a look at it. John, I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this project. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope that it's successful as well.
Oh, thank you first of all, thank you for the opportunity. Greatly appreciate it. I've enjoyed the time I've spent with the Inner Circle on the Mighty Network site. That's been a revelation, given how, you know, hard it is to find a community to share pictures with. So
yeah, and your contributions there have been terrific. So yeah, John posts regularly there. So when I talk about you know that our Inner Circle members, you know, they're the active ones in our community. And John's a great example of that. He's been posting pictures for us to enjoy the whole time. Have a great day, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thanks, John, for joining us. I really appreciate it. I think this is an exciting idea, and I hope many of our members take a look at it, and I hope you get a good head of steam going on this, because I would love to have some of these to flip through myself. New weekly newsletter for nimble photographers. The Nimble Photographer newsletter is now publishing every Thursday. Readers will enjoy a variety of content spanning from short photo essays to commentary on weekly events to reviews of the latest and coolest photo gear. Because of the rotating content, you won't see the same layout every time. There will be a certain freshness about the Nimble Photographer newsletter that you typically don't see with other publications. Now, this new newsletter is going to be a valuable addition to our existing community benefits that include this podcast, the Digital Story Podcast, the Nimble Photographer website, the Film Camera Shop, and then, of course, my writing on Medium.com. The newsletter is free, and there's a link to sign up for it in the show notes. You can just go there. And I'm using Substack as the platform for this newsletter because it gives me all these really cool tools to help me craft the sort of newsletter that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do something a little different than just a standard newsletter that we often see, right? This is going to be different than that. And you don't know what you're going to see from week to week. You know, it'll kind of rotate from this to that, depending on what's going on. I'm really excited about it. I think the feedback that I got after the first week was really good. And every Thursday, this free publication can show up in your inbox. Again, the Nimble Photographer Newsletter. There's a link to it in the show notes. I hope you become part of this community. We're already 1,000 strong, and I anticipate that we're going to grow much bigger than that in the coming weeks. Internal documents show Instagram knows reels are failing. I told you we're going to come back to Instagram here. This is an article that's on Petapixel, and you can read the entire article there. I have a link to it in the show notes. And I thought this also fit in well with what we're talking about today. Let me read you a little bit of what they have to say here. The document titled Creators Times Reels State of the Union 2022 was published internally at Meta in August and shows that Reels engagement not only fails to keep up even close to what is seen on TikTok, but that it is falling down 13.6% from the previous month. Even more damning, the report shows that most Reels users have no engagement whatsoever. Instagram's Reels issue is apparently one of original content, at least in part. The document notes that nearly a third of the content on Instagram is made somewhere else and reposted to the platform, usually indicated by a watermark in the corner. Meta announced a $1 billion creator payout plan last year to try to bolster original content, but the journal says that it has only doled out about $120 million of that so far. Meta spokesperson downplayed the report and tells the journal that viewing hours noted in the document were outdated and not global in scope. While she declined to disclose other numbers, she said that Reels engagement is still up month to month. For the better part of the last year, Instagram bet everything on a shift to video. Last December, Instagram head Adam Mosseri said that he would put a major focus on video features like Reels into the app in 2022, and up until last month made good on that promise. It began testing turning all video posts into Reels in July, testing a full-screen TikTok-like feed, doubled down on its plan amid backlash later that month, until just days later walked back those plans as big names on the platform pushed back on Instagram's plans to become a TikTok clone. Earlier this month, Mosseri admitted that the company had made a mistake and had gone too far into video. Unfortunately, it might be too late to win back fans who have been pleading with the company to rethink its strategy for the last year. Yeah, I think it's too late as well, because they're not going to give up on Reels, right? Reels are failing. Instagram is never going to be TikTok. Obviously, we all know it was never designed to be TikTok. TikTok is TikTok. Snapchat is Snapchat. Instagram was Instagram. So I think, you know, he's got a foot on two logs and a lot of water rushing in between right now. And I really don't know what's going to happen. But I do know what has happened, which is a lot of folks like me and other folks that really care about still photography just don't care about Instagram anymore, you know. And, you know, I still will go there a couple times a week. I used to go there a couple times a day. I used to post, you know, 5-6 times a week, and now I post maybe, you know, once or twice a month. It's just not the place for photography anymore, and they're never going to be TikTok. TikTok is TikTok, and it's just too bad. So I think it's pretty interesting that this article surfaced just in time for me to include it in this podcast. It pretty much sums up what a lot of us thought was going to happen, and it's just too bad. I loved Instagram in its earlier days, and it just makes me sad. I feel bad for what's happening to it right now. Bryce, take care of a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our community and this podcast month in and month out. They also have a members only area over at Derek Story Online, the Inner Circle there, where they can post images, ask questions, share ideas, all that good stuff. By the way, there's a new September photo challenge over there, Inner Circle members. So if you haven't taken a look lately, please mosey over, see what's going on, and post a couple shots. We love seeing your work. We love talking about your work. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is go to the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look at our site there. If you like what you see, sign up and you will have access both to the Patreon site and the Inner Circle site on Derek Story Online. And a huge thanks to those supporting this community. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. A place to go for paper, tutorials, reviews, ideas. What kind of paper should I use for my landscape photography? What kind of paper surfaces are great for portrait photography? What should I use for my fine art greeting cards? The answers to all these questions can be found on Red River Paper's site. To get to it, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Plus, they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. A big thanks to them for sponsoring this podcast. Go over, take a look, get some supplies, and get your inkjet printing on and create art that you can put in the hands of other people. Believe me, they will be impressed when they see that you took the picture, you printed the picture, and now they're holding it in their hands. Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, and a huge thanks for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you got some new ideas for sharing your images. Come back and join me next week. I'm working on some terrific stuff. Until then, get your work out there. Be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.